great to hear your voices. That's just awesome. I'm here with Adrian Dworak. Hi, Adrian.
Hi, Allison. Thanks for being on this with me. Adrian is going to be letting you know how to get a special bonus if you register into the Queen's Code for Life workshop after listening to this introduction. So she'll be telling you about how to get that at the end of this. And we always have our courses listed on the website. And if I'm going to be leading the course, it's on the Ask Allison page. And I'm just really excited for everybody to be here. And I feel like Adrian set me up to pull out of me something that I may not have expressed before. So she's calling this introduction to the Queen's Code for Life the Secrets of Feminine Power. And I've been stewing on that. And I'm really excited about it because it gives me a fun way to talk about what we do in this workshop. And if you're not familiar with our name changes, the Queen's Code for Life used to be called Celebrating Women Regarding Ecstasy and Power. And since the release of the Queen's Code book and the renaming of all our courses after what the Queen's Code book begins for people, this one's now known as the Queen's Code for Life. And it speaks to the secrets of living your life as a queen and also to a code of honor for women that as a queen you would hold yourself to. So what I'm going to be doing in this conversation is I'm going to be talking about five different secrets of feminine power. And another way of saying that is I'm going to be talking about five different problems that we address in the Queen's Code for Life workshop. And I'm actually going to do them in a kind of chronological order following the way that this workshop is designed, which is in our kind of classic PAX fashion, where we always begin with how come this isn't coming to us naturally? How come we don't already know this? How come we aren't already having access to the kind of life that the Course promises? So in the Queen's Code for Life, we begin with the ideal woman. And that one of the secrets to feminine power is to understand that we have a voice in our head that thinks the secret to feminine power is perfection. And unfortunately, as valuable as that voice is, and it really is valuable, that voice helps us. It actually helps us to distinguish the ways that we need to adjust and adapt to survive. So it's not that the ideal woman is worthless. That voice in our head, that critical voice in our head, is actually really, really valuable and really smart, culturally sensitive, for example. But we'll stop being the queen if we think that what it means to be a queen is to be perfect, and that's what we need to be a queen, is perfect. So that voice in our head, while it can provide some really useful information, can also have us miss the mark. And one of the ways that voice has us miss the mark is when we think that that voice is us. When we think that that voice in our head is us thinking, like this is just me thinking about how I could have done that better, or this is me thinking about how badly I did that, or this is just me thinking about what's wrong with me and what's wrong with my house and what's wrong with my car and what's wrong with my job and what's wrong with my relationships. This is just me thinking about that. And that's the disguise of that voice, is it can have us think that we're thinking it. And I challenge you, if you're thinking that, then stop thinking that. If it's really you, then you could turn it off. And we don't seem to be able to turn it off. So the first problem that we address in the Queen's Code for Life is the the way that we have mistook that critical voice for ourselves and believed it and gone to work on the program that it lays out and spending our time and our money and our energy on what it says we need to fix in order to have better lives and better relationships and men adoring us and ending up married or what would fix our marriage, all those things that that voice is going to say. And you'll hear me use that term a lot, our time and our money and our energy, because those of you who are familiar with my work, you know I am practical and I like to take huge possibilities and break them down into, so what do you do? What do you pay attention to? And specifically, how do you spend? Because spending is a choice, right? How do you spend your time? How do you spend your energy? And how do you spend your money? So the voice in our head, again, while she can give us some great insights and advice and observations, has a tendency to spend our time and our money and our energy on things that don't have us be more powerful, because that voice has misidentified the source of power as perfection. So that's the first thing that we address in the Queen's Code for Life, and we do an exercise to distinguish that voice from yourself so that then you have access to feminine power by having access to the source of feminine power. And the source of feminine power is you. The source of feminine power is understanding who you are. So that's the second problem that we address in the Queen's Code for Life, is the identification of self. Who am I? Answering that question, who am I? And in my work with women over the last 20 years and in having two daughters, now only one of them that's a teenager, and just being a woman myself, that was always a challenge for me. How do I know who I am, right? From a very young age, we're told, well, just be yourself. Well, just go in there and be yourself. Well, just go on that date and be yourself. Myself? What's myself? Most women know themselves as chameleons. Most women know themselves as becoming whatever the people we're with evoke. Whatever the situation we're in evokes from us, we become. And many women can mistakenly think that this is a lack of self-esteem, right? That we don't stick to our guns, right? And be true to ourselves because we have a lack of self-esteem. We don't think enough of ourselves. And I would argue with that, that it's not a self-esteem problem. It's a self-identification problem because we have survived by being incredibly, magnificently adaptable. If you look at our society today, you can see the success of women and that we owe it to our adaptability. We're extraordinarily adaptable. But what goes with that is a weakness in our sense of self, and I would say a weakness in our clarity about who we are. So one of the secrets of feminine power is actually to identify the individuality of your power. There are dozens of forms of feminine power. I could list them and list and list and list different forms of feminine power. And as women, we have access to all of them. We can be each and every one of them. But there are a few, there are several, that describe uniquely who you are, that is the name of the essence of you as a spiritual being. And that's one of the most important things that we do in the Queen's Code for Life, is really after you've distinguished that you are not that critical voice in your head, that who you are is really a set of gifts, if you will, that you are a gem, a multifaceted gem that is unique in all the world. And I mean that quite literally. In all the years that we've been having the Queen Course, which it's we had the first Queen Course a year after the first Celebrating Men, Satisfying Women workshop. So it's 19 years this month that we've been putting on this workshop. And as we've had women identify who they are as a set of extraordinary qualities, I've never, ever heard two women with the same set of qualities in the same order of priority. And the order of priority is quite significant. So if you think of yourself as a multifaceted gem and that each one of those facets is a feminine power, and that while the voice in our head thinks we should be the queen of everything, and you can even buy yourself stationery that says that or a coffee mug that says that, the truth is that we're effective as queens and in the realm of feminine power when we don't try to be the queen of everything, when we just try to be the queen that we are, the queen of what we are the queen of, the particular set of qualities that resonates at our core, that moves us to tears in the recognition of ourselves. So that's the second problem that we address in the Queen's Code for Life, and it's the second secret to feminine power, is don't try to be all-powerful. Yes, all these feminine forms of power you can be from moment to moment, but you will be the strongest, I would assert, if you focus on becoming clear, on having clarity about the feminine forms of power that really are your gifts to the world and your gifts to the people that you love. So that's the second thing that we address in the Queen's Code for Life. Then the third problem that we address in the Queen's Code for Life, which reveals the third secret to feminine power, is the fact that both that critical voice in our head and how much we care about other people will have us spend our time and our money and our energy in ways that takes the essence from us, that takes our essence from us. Another way of saying that is that most women's lives are organized in such a way that their lifestyle depletes them of their life force. Their lifestyle depletes them of their sense of self. Their lifestyle steals or takes away their essence instead of nourishing, instead of giving, instead of replenishing their essence. So over time, we tend to become less and less ourselves instead of more and more ourselves. So the next problem that we're addressing in the Queen's Code for Life is how do you reorganize your life so that it keeps feeding you instead of feeding from you? And again, this comes down to something I assert, which is that life is made up of really simple components, that each of our lives are made up of really simple components. And when you understand those components, then your life is easy to change. And those components, again, are your time, your money, and your energy. So if you want to change your life, just change any one of the three of those. Just change how you spend your time, and you'll have a different experience of life. Change how you spend your money, and you'll have a different experience of life. Change how you spend your energy. What do you think about? What do you worry about? What do you fuss over? Right? How do you spend your energy? What do you imagine? Do you imagine the things that you want, or do you imagine the things you don't want? Right? So when you break life down into time and money and energy, and recognize that those are three elements that are always being spent, that there's always a moment of choice where we give that or give that up, right? And then you can start to look at what are the changes you could make, big changes or little changes, that would tweak how you're spending your time and your money and your energy so that your life is feeding you. And in this part of the course, we actually start working on creating a chart, because we don't want you to forget this. We don't want it to get buried in some set of notes. We actually want this to end up on your mirror or your refrigerator or both. And it has you distinguish what we call your noble needs. So the qualities that are the names of the facets of the gem that you are, we call those your noble qualities. And then your noble needs are the things that when you spend enough time or enough money or enough energy on them, you end up replenished in those noble qualities, filled up in those noble qualities, given those noble qualities, full of those noble qualities. When that's just how it works. When you spend enough time and money and energy on your noble needs, you end up with your noble qualities. So one of the secrets of feminine power is knowing what your noble needs are. And not just what is it. Let's take sleep. Sleep is a universal noble need for men and for women. Across the board, it gives men their noble qualities and it gives women their noble qualities. Now, the problem is most people don't get enough sleep. They don't spend enough time sleeping. And there's a variety of reasons that we don't. We could spend a whole lot of time just listing all the reasons that we don't get enough sleep. But when you see the impact of getting enough sleep, who you get to be, the power that you have access to from enough sleep, suddenly getting enough sleep becomes a lot more interesting. It becomes a much higher priority. And then there's the question of what is enough? What is enough sleep? And one of the things that we have noticed over the years is that there is a relationship between enough movement and enough sleep. Now, I use the word movement because I don't like the implications of the word exercise. I don't know that our bodies need exercise. I think our bodies need movement. And our brains need our bodies to move. That's what neuroscience is showing us, that movement is the language of the brain. And for example, nothing has a bigger impact on memory than movement. So movement is as important to our bodies as sleep is, and there's a relationship between the two in terms of enough. So if you're getting too little movement, you will need more sleep. And if you're getting too much movement, you will need more sleep. So the trick is to find out what's enough movement, and then when you're getting enough movement, what's enough sleep, because they're a combo. And there's a lot of different ways to figure out what enough is, and we spell those out in the course, and, you know, including trial and error and including muscle testing, which is something that we play with in the Queen's Code for Life. So sleep and movement are just two of the really common needs that people have, again, both men and women. And there's many others that we suggest that you look at, and we have a whole exercise in order to help you to distinguish what are the most high octane ways to spend your time and your money and your energy. In other words, that if you do that, you refill or replenish more than one noble quality, several noble qualities, by just one way of spending your time or your money or your energy. So we're after the most leverage, the most economy of you spending your time and your money and your energy. Wow, I'm just barreling along here. I think we'll even have time for questions. This is exciting. All right, so far we've talked about the first secret is understanding that the ideal woman thinks the secret is perfection and not getting faked out about that and distinguishing yourself from that critical voice in your head. The second secret was clarity about which feminine forms of power really describe who you are, which feminine forms of power are the essence of who you are, and focusing on those forms of power instead of trying to be all-powerful. Then the third secret was sorting out what your noble needs are. So the things that when you get enough of them, when you spend enough time or money or energy on those things, you will be replenished in your noble qualities. So your life will give you who you are instead of take from you who you are. So those are the first three. Now, the fourth one, and some people might think I should have started with this, but I didn't because I'm following more the way that the course goes. The fourth secret to feminine power is understanding feminine power. And what I mean by that is understanding feminine power versus masculine power. How are they distinct? And one of the things that matters to me for everybody to know is that we love masculine forms of power. We celebrate masculine forms of power. One of our principles is that we celebrate and utilize both masculine and feminine forms of power in women and in men. So this isn't the anti-masculine power course. This is actually speaks to the recognition that masculine forms of power are extremely effective for producing particular kinds of results. And one of the glorious things about getting to be female in this day and age is how much permission we have to embrace and express masculine forms of power. There was a day where we would be thought extremely ill of for engaging in masculine forms of power the way that we do. So I actually get high on being masculine. It comes with its own surge, its own excitement, and its own set of results. So this isn't against masculine forms of power. We don't want to take that from you. What we do want to do is distinguish the difference between what the kinds of results masculine forms of power can produce versus what feminine forms of power can produce. And it's a very interesting thing to look at because much of the frustration in women's lives about what they don't have in the quality of their life, what they don't have in the quality of their relationships, in their experience of love and intimacy and caring and being seen and being empowered, much of that comes from not understanding that what's needed are feminine forms of power. That you can't apply more masculine power and get that result. You can't apply a different form of masculine power and get that result. You actually have to shift into feminine forms of power. So one of the secrets to feminine power is actually understanding what the heck is feminine power? How is it different? Just because a woman is exercising power doesn't make it feminine power. Feminine power has its own nature. It has its own flavor. And in the Queen's Code for Life, we distinguish feminine forms of power, like the nature of feminine forms of power, which I'll talk about in a little bit. I'm not just teasing you. And then we go on to distinguish four specific feminine forms of power that we've seen are really top on the list of needed by all women. So these four particular forms of power may coincide with the forms of power that are the facets of who you are, or these feminine forms of power, the four that we're distinguishing, may be in addition to the facets that you've already distinguished in yourself. And it's fine either way. If they overlap, if they don't overlap, it's fine. But we take time to look at four specific forms of power, and feminine forms of power. And one of the definitions of power is to have an effect. So that's a dictionary definition of power. And so one of the things that we're looking at is what is the effect of each of these four different forms of power, so that you can be clear about what do you use them for. And we look at four different ones, and the one that is most popular, sorry for that noise, my computer is fading out and I wasn't going to be able to give you a chance to ask a question. So the one that's most popular and a reason why a lot of women do the Queen's Code for Life is the power of receptivity. And that's one of the ones that we distinguish at great length, because being receptive, it seems mysterious to a lot of people and seems kind of scary and passive and feels more like laying down than being powerful. So most people don't have an experience of receptivity as a form of power. And the reason for that is actually because of the nature of feminine forms of power to begin with, which, let's see if I was going to do this a short way. Okay, I'm just going to go for it. So the easiest way to distinguish between masculine and feminine forms of power is just to think about the difference between male and female organs. So masculine forms of power are like an erection, and feminine forms of power are like a vagina. They're like a womb. So I know this is really graphic, but it's a really easy way to understand these feminine forms of power, that masculine forms of power are intrusive. They're disruptive. They actually push other things out of the way, and that's how they operate. That's how they have an effect, is in a forceful, generative, really visibly proactive way. And I hope somebody's giggling about all this. That would really help me. thank you, Agent. So I appreciate that. I'm just blushing over here all by myself. And then feminine forms of power they're really like a womb, in that the way that we describe it is a feminine form of power is an unoccupied space. And it has an effect, and it produces results by making room for that result, by making space for that result. And it's another way to think of it, which is also consistent with a womb, is it's like soil that's been nurtured, right? That's been nurtured and fertilized, and something can grow there. Something can happen in it because of the health of that environment. And really every feminine form of power causes an effect by being a place where that effect can flourish, where that whatever it is that you wanted to cause can actually come into being and live. And one of the things that I love about feminine forms of power, besides that I learned about them from listening to men, it was one of the first things I learned about from listening to men, because men were talking about women, which when I first started studying men, I was shocked, because like most women, I had a very limited view of who men were, and I thought they would just want to talk about like sports and work. And what they wanted to talk to me the most about was women. And that's when I first found out how passionate men are about women and how much men care about women and how much men care about what women need. But as they were describing women to me, I didn't recognize anything they were saying. And it took me a while to figure out that they were describing femininity and that they were describing feminine forms of power. And one of the words that men have used over and over and over again since 1991 is the word magic, that women are magical. And the way that they are in awe of how much a woman changes the space that she's in, that she brings something with her that alters the quality of life around her. Now, the scary part is that we can do that in a positive or a negative way. So if a woman is depleted of her essence, then her impact, the impact of her environment on her environment is not going to be a positive one. But if she is spending enough of her time and her money and her energy on getting her noble needs met, then the impact she has on her environment is she actually causes it to be more like herself. It causes it to be a space where who she is nurtures other people and allows everybody to produce results because of the space she provides. So the fourth secret to feminine power is understanding the nature of feminine power and that it is the holding and the creation of an unoccupied space. And because it's unoccupied, it makes it invisible. So feminine forms of power, you don't see power. You just see the effect. And women tend to be more oblivious to the effect of feminine power than men. Men tend to be, they recognize it more quickly and have a lot more respect for it. And they'll say things like, that doesn't happen when you're not around. It's not like this when you're not here. They have a much greater recognition of the impact that we have with feminine power. So that would be the fourth secret. And then I have one more, and the fifth secret of feminine power is to understand the impact of ecstasy, the power of ecstasy. And I love when we get to talk about this in the Queen's Code for Life. You know, in the Queen's Code workshop, we introduce you to happiness and the effect of happiness on everybody. And ecstasy is a big happy. It's a huge happy. It's an explode out of your body happy. And we assert that as a queen, you will bring the most power to your realm, to the people that you love, by organizing your life so that you experience ecstasy on a regular basis. I love that. This isn't the pursuit of happiness. This is the fulfillment of a big happy. We don't want you to chase it. We want you to have it. We want you to experience it. And fortunately, because of the way that we design programs, everything that you learn about the other secrets to feminine power adds up to the ability to create your life as an opportunity for ecstasy. And I use the word opportunity rigorously. The dictionary calls an opportunity a set of circumstances favorable for the purpose of something. So setting up your life as the opportunity for ecstasy is a set of circumstances out of which ecstasy is something that's naturally experienced. And what we've learned is that when you spend enough of your time and your money and your energy on your noble needs, then the byproduct of that is not only do you have those tanks filled, not only do you have the ability to be those qualities, not just believe in them or promote them, talk about them, you actually embody them. Not only do you have that, you also have this access to experiencing ecstasy. And the more you experience ecstasy, the more energy, the more life force you have to bring to your environment, to all the men and women and children in your environment. And that feminine form of power, ecstasy, actually I think is a gender-free form of power. But I remember when I was first talking to Greg about developing this course, and that, you know, I told him the name of it back then, right? Celebrating Women Regarding Ecstasy and Power. And he was like, what's ecstasy? And I said, well, it's a feeling. And he goes, oh, okay, now I know why I don't know what you're talking about. That was so funny. But I have since learned that men also experience ecstasy, but usually don't. They often don't know that they are when they are. So having this feeling, this ginormous feeling of happiness, this big happy, and the effect that that has on your mental and emotional well-being, and even physically, it changes how you look physically. And it's something that people comment to me a lot. They talk about my eyes sparkling and my skin glowing. And that's just a function of ecstasy, which I'm a big fan of. So that would be the fifth secret of feminine power, is understanding the power of ecstasy and having the result of all these other things that we distinguish, where you now can purposefully construct your life, how you spend your time and your money and your energy from dawn to dark, so that the result of it is with very little effort. I mean, we call ecstasy and happiness radioactive substances. So with a really, 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 really tiny amount of effort, you can experience a huge result, and a result for yourself and a result for the people around you. Okay, so Adrian, that is what I have to say about the secrets of feminine power. And those would be the major headings that the Queen's Code for Life is organized around. And what I'd like to do now is, if you would you please tell everyone how they can get the bonus that they're now eligible for by having listened to this, which is very cool. All you had to do is listen to this, and we're giving you a bonus when you register for the Queen's Code for Life. So Adrian's going to walk through that.
All right, wonderful. Yes, I'm so excited about this opportunity too. So if you register online for the Queen's Code for Life workshop, you'll get one of Allison's latest teleclasses called Why Men Lie, Why Women Lie, audio download for free as a bonus. And it's awesome. I love this teleclass. So what you do is you use the link that we gave you in the email, and then you press the button that says pick your dates, and then you choose if you want to pay in full for $1,195, or if you want to choose the payment plan, which is 7 payments of $176, and that includes a 3% administration fee. And then that will be in your shopping cart. And then you want to also add you want to go to products and then choose audio downloads. And then you want to choose the product that says Why Men Lie, Why Women Lie audio download. And then add that to your shopping cart also. And then you're going to type this promo code in the box that says use promo code. And you're going to, you want to type in QCL2015. So that's, it's like Queen's Code for Life 2015. So again, it's QCL2015. And then you're going to press the update button, and then it takes $97 off, which is the price of Why Men Lie, Why Women Lie audio download. So you get it for free.
So when you put it in your cart from the product's audio download page, it'll show up that it's going to charge you $97. So don't panic. Then put in the promotional code, QCL2015, and then it'll take it back off, but you'll still get it. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, perfect.
Okay. And if I may, I'd like to say a few words about this particular teleclass and why we're offering it with the Queen's Code for Life. So first thing I want to say is this is one of my most favorite things that I've created lately. It's 3 hours, and it distinguishes all the different reasons why men lie and why women lie. And another way of saying that is, what are the masculine reasons for lying and the feminine reasons for lying? Because we both lie for both sets of reasons. And it distinguishes how the basic human instincts are more in favor of lying than of honesty. So you not only will understand why men lie and why women lie, you have the opportunity by listening to that teleclass to transform your relationship to people lying. Because most people get really, 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 really upset by people lying. They get really thrown off by people lying. They get unbalanced by people lying. And they end up actually not being powerful in either a feminine or a masculine way. They can really lose their power in the face of people lying because of what they think people lying means. And when you understand what causes lying, not only can you be amazing in the face of lying, like maintain your power and your composure and clear thinking, you can also not fall into the traps of what you think them lying to you means, which will end up just going right down the toilet. On top of those two things, you also then can develop the ability to create the conditions in which honesty is most likely to happen. So what will happen in the course of listening to this teleclass is you may find that you stop taking honesty for granted and stop being just righteous and angry when people aren't honest and start to understand that honesty is a victory of human spirit and that you can cause more honesty around you by creating the conditions in which honesty will naturally occur. And truth being my second noble quality, honesty has been important to me all my life. And I spent many years just being upset that people weren't honest. And this class is actually the result of a breakthrough that I had in my relationship with the person who's been the most dishonest with me my entire life. And actually getting to the bottom of why that person was dishonest with me opened up the whole field of truth and honesty and having understanding and compassion and power in the face of lying. So really, really encourage you. And if you haven't already made the connection already,
you could see that in the Secrets to Feminine Power, one of the things that you would want is the ability to be powerful even in the face of something that we normally consider just to be bad, just to be awful, just to be a betrayal or a terrible thing that someone would do to you. And how could someone who says they love you possibly do that to you? So it actually will empower you to continue to be the queen by understanding how lying works. So this is why we paired these two things together. And whether you listen to the telecast before or after you come to the Queen's Code for Life course, I would encourage you to do both. Listen to it both before and after. Okay, so just to make sure that it's all laid out for people in case they didn't get all the emails, how to register for the Queen's Code for Life is to go to our website at understandmen.com and click on Programs for Women, and you'll see the icon there for the Queen's Code for Life. It's easy to recognize because there's a throne. So click on that icon, and it will take you to a description of the course, and there'll be a button there that says Pick My Dates, and then that'll give you the whole schedule of where it's happening around the country and in Canada through the end of the year and eventually beyond. And then pick the one that you want to register for, and if you want to do a pay plan or pay in full, and then that'll put it in your shopping cart. Like we already said, add Why Men Lie and Why Women Lie to your shopping cart. When you're checking out, add the promo code QCL2015. And Adrian, is QCL case sensitive? Does it have to be all caps, or can it be small letters? Does it matter?
I think let's do all lowercase to be safe. So lowercase Q, lowercase C, lowercase L, and then 2015.
All right, just to be safe. And if, you know, someone wants to mess around and try all caps and see if it works, then you'll have the answer that it's not case sensitive, but we believe it is. All right, so I just want to thank everybody for listening to my description of the Secrets of Feminine Power. And I hope to see you in the Queen's Code for Life or hear that you were there. Now, Adrian, can we take questions?
Yes, absolutely. That would be such a gift.
Okay, so we have a little bit of time left, and if you'd like to ask a question about this course and anything that you would need to know to decide whether or not it was for you, so you can ask me, do you work on, or is this for somebody who, or would this help someone that, any of those kinds of questions are really great. And how to raise your hand on the Maestro system is press 1 on your keypad. So right on your phone pad, if you press 1, it'll show up here as your hand will be up, and then I can give you the microphone, and I'll be able to hear you. Okay, so Diane has her hand up. And Diane, you have the microphone.
Thank you, Allison. I've already registered to be at your class in Dallas. I wondered if the free offer was still available for people that have already registered.
I'm so sorry. It isn't still available. That's a great question, and it isn't something that we can apply retroactively.
Okay.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right. Thanks, Diane. All right. And does anybody else have a question? If you press 1 on your keypad, then okay. So, Adrian, no one has their hand up right now. I'm wondering if you have any questions that you typically get that you would like me to address.
I've had women ask if, what's the best way to prepare for it. The investment of 3 days and with the price. Do you have any advice for them?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, one of the best ways to prepare for it would be to actually start thinking about and noticing, how do you currently spend your time and your money and your energy? So you could take a kind of inventory and just start with, when you wake up in the morning, what do you do? You know, do you lie in bed for a while and worry? How much time do you spend doing that, right? So how do you spend your energy thinking, right? And what is your routine? And noticing whether or not your routine actually empowers you. Do you feel more like yourself at the end of the routine, or did you just manage to get out the door? And just keep doing that throughout the day. Notice how you spend your lunchtime. Notice how you spend your moments at work and what you're focused on and working on if you work. If you're at home, just keep noticing, how am I spending my time now, my energy now, my money now? And the Queen's Code for Life will give you some questions to be asking yourself so that the choices you make nourish you instead of deplete you. And but it's really, really useful to just take an inventory of how you're spending your time and money and energy now. And what's great, also great about that, is you can start to see that you may have more of it than you know. Like that there's more, if you feel like you're boxed in and, well, I don't have any extra money. Well, maybe you don't have extra money, but if you look at how effective is the way you're spending your money, maybe you want to reallocate it. So that would be a useful process. The other thing I'd recommend is just try to get more sleep. More sleep and more movement before you get there, so that you actually have a greater capacity to learn. And, you know, since it starts on Friday, many people are taking off work, so you might be trying to get 5 days worth of work done in four. So I'd encourage you to ask the question, will anything bad happen if I don't do this till I get back? Really, will anything bad happen if I don't do this till I get back? Because often that ideal woman in our head has an ideal woman, an ideal amount of things that ought to be accomplished. And they don't necessarily need to be accomplished, and what they give us by being accomplished could be less than what they took from us in order to get accomplished. So that would be the second thing to pay attention to, is being in good shape when you get to the course, and you may need to do less than you would normally expect yourself to do in order to be in good shape. Does that answer that?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And April has her hand up, so I'm going to give you the microphone. Hi, April.
Hi, Allison. I am just delighted by the way you described what happens at this course, and it sounds really exciting, and it also sounds like a really tall order. So I'm wondering if you have any insights as to how a woman can assess whether she's ready for this, or whether, if she's ready for it.
That's a great question. Well, there's a kind of a ready for it, and then there's also a, is this course for you? So, and it doesn't matter if you're ready if it's not for you. So if I could address both of those. The Queen's Code for Life is really for women who are interested in their lives happening at a different level. You might say a higher level. I would certainly use the word empowering. That if you're at the point in life where you're, where you care about the impact you have on other people, that you don't want to just leave people the way you found them, and you certainly don't want to leave them worse off than you found them, that you actually are at the point in your life where you're concerned about and you care about and it's worth spending energy on, that other people are left better off by virtue of having interacted with you, having participated with you, having gotten to be around you or in your space, even for a short amount of time. So it's really the domain of the queen. So it's not the princess, right? The princess can be all about herself. The queen is about other people. She's about empowering other people. And the more powerful the people in her realm are, the more powerful she is. So it's a recognition of that partnership. So the queen, the queen's code for life is moving further into the domain of partnership that we opened up in the Queen's Code workshop. So if you're interested in your own greatness, not as in better than other people, but greatness as in having an impact, being an influence and an inspiration for other people, then this would be the right course. Ready for it? I would say being, and I love that question, April, ready for it would have to do with, is it time for your life to no longer be an accident? Are you ready to be responsible for your brilliance, for your greatness, for your impact, for your contribution, for the cause that you are of multiple effects in life? So ready for it would be ready for the responsibility of how magnificent you are, instead of kind of being like, oh, wow, I don't know how that happened. Was this amazing? Oh, I was like, how did I get here? Right? Like, wow, I spoke up in a fairy tale. I think many of us have an alter ego. You know, I remember in the beginning years of my relationship with Greg, there was a part of me that was like, oh, wow, I don't know how this happened. I just feel so lucky. And there's a whole other part of myself that was doing everything right, being brave and honest and speaking up and saying what I needed and using the hero language and not emasculating him and just really being responsible for having a terrific relationship. And then this alternate teenage ego that was like, huh, how'd I get here? And the queen's really about letting that go, taking responsibility for you are the source of how brilliant your life is. And you being an amazing inspiration for other people is not an accident. It's actually because you intended to be that kind of influence on them. And you set up your life to allow you to embody the qualities that would be that kind of influence. And you're willing to own it. So that's what I'd say about being ready. You're willing to own being great and being great on purpose. And this doesn't mean you have to do it overnight, by the way. You know the koan of the Queen's Code. Take 10, right? Take 10 years to implement what you learn here. And as I said earlier, you know, I'm on my 19th year. I'm on my 19th year and still discovering what it means to be a queen and what do you hold yourself to? What is your code of honor? What is the intention of a queen as a contribution to other people? That's how I'd answer that question. Did you have any other questions?
Thank you so much. No,
welcome.
I don't think so. I mean, it was just beautiful and it sounds so totally delicious and kind of foreign. But I love the way you said what it means to, you know, take this step and to really just be a different sort of person, and I love that. It sounds like you're in service to yourself and to other people, like beautifying and enhancing.
Awesome. Thank you, April. Thanks for a great question.
Thank you.
All right. I'm sorry I can't take more questions. We're at the top of the hour, and so we're going to go ahead and conclude. Adrian, thank you for your partnership, and I'm going to open up the lines for everybody to say good night.